RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
NFC title game week, Tuesday morning. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody who joined us worldwide. Yesterday did a special edition of AWOD Radio on his podcast. You can enjoy that. I think the highlight of that was Adam sharing all his superstitions that he has in-game. It is an extensive list. And I'll say this. We don't have a lot of superstitions here, but I'll remind you, 2 weeks ago, Bram Weinstein, the voice of the Commanders, came on the show, and at the end of the segment, because he had not been on, we don't have a ton of guests on this show, that's not how this show operates, I invite him. One of the things about this show is everybody is kind of a little hurt that they're not invited to be on this show, which I don't mind leaning into a little tiny bit. It's kind of an ongoing bit that I'm okay with. Because Bram came on and like, hey, I've been here the whole season. Where have you been? The answer is we don't have a lot of guests. But he was great and finished a segment by saying, I'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same place, because we're going to beat Tampa. Which we appreciate the confidence. They did beat Tampa. We're good for our word. Let me just say, I do not plan on being responsible for a Commander's loss this Sunday. That's not going to be on my ledger. You're not going to see this guy getting blamed for a Commander's loss on Sunday. No siree. Bram Weinstein joins the program at 11 o'clock today. A man who knows the importance of superstition is going to be here, and we will chat. And the fun magic carpet ride continues, and we'll talk to him next Tuesday. We'll talk to him every Tuesday we need to get this job done on the road to the Super Bowl. I'm just happy, man. I'm just happy for everybody. It's Tuesday. It's 3 days after the game. I'm still happy. I'm happy for all y'all who stuck with this. I'm happy that it didn't happen with Dan Snyder. I really am. I just got to say that. And you're the, you know, you can disagree with me. I wish this had happened. I'm glad it didn't happen with Dan. I'm really happy it happened right after he left. That's just there's a nice symmetry to that. 91, Dan takes over, things are going well. 97, it plummets, and now we're right back on top. It's awesome and it's fun, and enjoy this, man. This is a game. We'll officially turn the page tomorrow because we got to do Commanders Rewind today, revisit this Detroit game. But this is a game that we know going into the game is going to be an all-timer. I think about there's so few events in sports where you know that. I'm trying to think how many NFC East games I've seen over the years. I bet I've seen 60 NFC East matchups. They're all rivalry matchups. They are all rivalry matchups, every single one of them. Only once going into the game do you know whatever happens tonight will be remembered. Obviously, that was RG3 against the Cowboys 2012. There are NFC East games I remember vividly over the years. Colt McCoy overtime win Monday Night Football. I didn't walk into the stadium that night knowing I was going to see something. There are games I remember, and there are games I'll never remember. There are games I've long since forgotten. You show up, you watch the game, you leave, and you could give me a random Giants-Redskins score from 2016. I'd nod. No, I bet that happened. Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to remember the Giants-Redskins where Washington just had to win. The Giants didn't care. It was the banana boat game with OBJ. They lost. That was the beginning of the end for Kirk. That one seared into my brain for other reasons that are too sad to talk about on this happiest of weeks. Very rarely do you know going into a game. We're going to talk about this game for the next 30 years. Was it the end of The Office? Wish there was a way to know we're in the good old days when they're happening. We're in the good old days. When I'm 60, when I'm 80, when they drag me in here to do, you know, memory lane once a week on this radio station, I remember back in 2015. These are 2025, whatever we are. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. This is the game we'll be talking about. This is the time. This is the moment. Enjoy it. Live it. Love it. Your Commanders are in the NFC title game against the Eagles, and they've got a chance to win it too. And that's what's incredible about the whole thing. It truly was when they recovered the onside kick was the first moment. The thought that came into my mind was, oh my gosh, this team could make the Super Bowl. And I know some of you beat me to that. Some of you have been there for a while, and I mean, kudos to you. Even the people, maybe we'll dig it up this week. Kevin Sheehan, who I love, y'all know, he's one of my favorites. He's on up in D.C. at the same time as me, so we don't get as much time to chat as we like these days. I think the world of Kevin Sheehan. We argued with a preseason training camp segment where we went back and forth for 10 minutes on whether this was a playoff team or not. And Kevin Sheehan was the optimist coming into this. I trust his opinion. I respect his opinion. I think he's a great football thinker and radio host. He's trying to convince me, yes, this team can make the playoffs. And Awad did that. And there were people who said, hey, this team can make the playoffs. I don't remember anybody anywhere, anytime saying this team could make the Super Bowl. And that's my thought is as they're jumping on that onside kick, is bouncing around. Oh my gosh, this is going to be big. They jump on it, and you know, time's up. Detroit lost this football game. Washington won this football game. They could make the Super Bowl. That's a real thing, and that's the happiness we live in this week. We'll open up the phone lines to you. We're going to be in Philly on Sunday. Fired up for the Monday show already. Not to say they will win. I think a lot depends on Jalen Hurts and his health, to be honest with you. It's not what teams you play. It's when you play them. You think about the Cowboys, who got waxed by the Saints in week 2, started their decline. Cowboys play the Saints week 16. They win that football game. That's a Mike Shanahan favorite. Mike Shanahan, I would say, it's not who you play. You know, schedule comes out, everybody's breaking it. It's not who you play. It's when you play them. Do you play them when they're healthy? Do you play them when they're down? Do you play them in weather? Do they like weather? It's going to be cold on Sunday. I'm nervous about that. Jaden Daniels has not played his best historically in cold weather. But I think Jalen Hurts is a little beat up. I think the defense is a little beat up. I think this defense is coming off one of its very best, most opportunistic games of the season, which I know is an insane thing to say about a game where this defense gave up 31 points. I liked what they did. You know, we'll get to Ben Johnson joining the Chicago Bears. I love that for Cliff Kingsbury. He's not going anywhere. That was the job he would have left for. I'm very excited about that, unless the Cowboys do something insane, which we cannot rule out the Cowboys doing insane things. That's not off the table. But I think odds are here Cliff's going to stay, and I don't think he's taking interviews this week. I think Jerry will get antsy now that the musical chairs is about to stop. But 31 points allowed. It was great. 5 takeaways. Got them rattled. Got in their heads. Did what they needed to do. I think, you know, Gibbs was always going to get his. I think it's not who you play. It's when you play them. With Montgomery coming back, I think they felt obligated to give the ball to Montgomery a little bit more than they would have otherwise, and he wasn't effective. Gibbs, 7.5 yards a carry. That's going to be Saquon on Sunday. Brace yourself now. He's good. He's not stoppable. I think Jalen Hurts is stoppable. I think if you rank the four quarterbacks who are still playing football right now in the NFL, Jalen Hurts is fourth on that list. Doesn't mean they'll win. Doesn't mean they'll win. But I'm saying they could. 60 minutes from the Super Bowl, NFC title game in Philly this weekend. By the way, we have to have the honest discussion. Is Patrick Mahomes number four? I keep waiting for him to flip the switch. Didn't get flipped last weekend. I think you have to. I know Buffalo's not the favorites. I think you have to consider Buffalo the favorites. There's always the reason Buffalo won't be the favorites, the reason bettors aren't going to line up behind them. You just know if when Mahomes does flip the switch, he's untouchable. He's number one by a large margin. If he comes out there, flips the switch, they're going to win. They're going to win the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. They're going to do their thing. If he doesn't, that's a vulnerable team, and that's a beatable team. That's intriguing. We got a million subplots here. Personally, y'all know this. I am not from here. My happiness is your happiness. Your happiness is my happiness. I'm thrilled. This is a magic carpet ride. It's been so much fun. I'll remember for the rest of my life being in that building when the Hail Mary was thrown against Chicago. Just great moment in football history. Y'all also know I am from somewhere, and that somewhere is Kansas, and I do have a team. And so many people asked me yesterday, what are you going to do if it's Commanders Chiefs? I'll just be happy, I think. We'll cross the right. Look, if there's any team I want them to lose to, it's these guys. It's you guys. I want you guys to be happy. You'll be unhappy after that game because that's my team, and I'm going to go for them. But we'll have a great week. We'll fire it up. Maybe we'll put a friendly wager on the line. Chiefs Commanders, winning team gets to continue to use Native American imagery. We'll make a side bet on the game. We'll sort it out. We'll do something. We got a lot for you today. Commanders Rewind. We'll play you the best from the game. Lennon Fletcher was having the time of his life up there. I know Bram was as well with him. Bram joins the show at 11. Of course, the voice of the Washington Commanders. Of course, doing his part to ensure victory on Sunday, as is our new official show superstition. We're not having Bram on the show. That's set in stone. We are efforting to find a time with Robbie Robinson. He's the voice of the Rams. It is a VCU game night. We'll make time for that as well, but it's an NFC title game week. College football, I haven't even mentioned college football yet. Ohio State, your national champs, funniest possible outcome. Ryan Day, national champion, fan base still hates him. Good for Travion Henderson, pride of Hopewell, a little local ring coming back home. Awesome for him. That's the show. Stick with us. Have fun. Call in if you want. 833-804-0910. The Washington Commanders are 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. You're listening to Richmond's home of the Commanders.
Tuesday morning.
910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, where Richmond comes to talk Commanders football. Did not anticipate this week would be in all Commanders format, but here we are. We'll sneak in a little VCU hoops talk with our guy Robbie Robinson in half an hour. Game night for them tonight on the road. Part of a stretch of, I don't want to say tougher than normal, because, man, the A-10 is going to be a grinder this year, but certainly you look at this particular stretch, St. Louis at St. Joe's, at Rhode Island, the Bonnies, and then back at St. Louis, and then, of course, the rivalry game, which you don't write those off. Richmond coming to the Siegel Center on February 1st. That's a brutal stretch. That's what you got to do. Bram says to give him a call. He is like me, not going to be responsible for the team losing this weekend. So this is a standing Tuesday tradition now on the Fan. We are efforting to reach Bram Weinstein, the voice of the Washington Commanders. You heard him on the Commanders Rewind. If you missed it, grab it on the free Odyssey app. It's available at the Apple Store and Google Play. We have so much programming ready for you to take advantage of this week. Tons of programming coming your way. We'll keep you updated on that. One is sad programming note as we welcome Bram in. We cannot broadcast Bram's call of the game to you on Sunday. We'll have the highlights, of course, for y'all next week. But NFL rules preclude us from doing that. Ian Eagle have the national call. We'll be right back, of course. We'll find a way to play the highlights for you on Monday. Be ready for that. But when you tune in Sunday, you'll hear the Westwood One call. That is due to NFL contractual obligations. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not getting in the middle of all that. What I know is this is now a standing Tuesday tradition. He called it 2 weeks ago. I didn't believe it until they recovered that onside kick that went bouncing everywhere. And then you realize it. His team's 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl. Voice of the Commanders is Bram Weinstein. He joins us now. Bram, good morning.
I'm very angry about this. You can't play our call.
I'm very angry about this.
I gotta make some phone calls. That's ridiculous.
It's we get this when the Caps are in the Stanley Cup. It's the same. We get this from time to time. Baseball, we can't take the Nats. We're 90 minutes away, but according to the lawyers, we are a world away. But as you know, this is a great market down here. Embracing the Commanders, embracing everything this team has been. You're in Detroit. When did you get the feeling this was going to be a special night?
After the pick six. And I even, like, I saw NFL Network played the call of it, because you actually hear, like, right before it happened, like, we verbally said, this place is going to get real nervous if we get a stop. Right before the snap. And I just, after meeting with Dan Quinn on Thursday and talking to him, and he was very transparent with us for the broadcast about what the defensive game plan was. And obviously, I couldn't share a lot of it other than to just kind of hint at some of the things they were going to do. I started to feel very confident that they had a real shot here. You know, I knew they were going to score points. Like, Detroit, the last month of the season with all the injuries, I think it was all injuries, they were giving up 430 yards a game, 32 points a game, like, extrapolated over a course of a season to be the worst defense in the NFL. So I knew we were going to score. Like, I'd watched them play Buffalo, San Francisco. They put up 34. Buffalo put up 48. They could have scored 60 on them. And I'm like, I was fully confident that Washington would score at least 30 points. It was just a matter of whether it would be enough. And after the pick six happened and a third turnover, I'm like, they don't have enough time. They're not going to score enough to beat us. And that's where I was pretty convinced relatively early when the defensive game plan was playing out the way that Quinn had described it to me. I knew that we were on our way.
You work all season long to get the one seed, to get the home field and all that. But boy, it sure feels like it can work against you in that moment. Because I agree with you. You called it right there on the air. They got tight. And we've seen that. Yeah. You've seen that a million times. They know this is a big moment for them, and they get nervous, and that creates an energy that you don't want in that building if you're Dan Campbell.
No, and I felt like, since you mentioned hockey, I thought it was kind of an apt analogy. This really felt like Game 7, and there was and on their end, I feel bad for them because I know that they really thought that this was their year. I think that they were blinded to the fact that the injuries on their defense put them in such a vulnerable position that you're not going to just outscore everybody. Like, you're not going to win the Super Bowl 52-50. Like that's just not going to happen. But I think because Washington, I don't think people are paying attention or haven't been. They haven't been a high-profile team. Everyone who hasn't really seen it just thinks it's a good story. Oh, that Jaden Daniels guy, yeah, he's pretty good. But look at these scores. They keep winning at the end. Like, there's no way that can continue. And I just don't think anyone truly, honestly believed that this is more than just a good story. And it felt like, I knew it in the building, like, I could just tell by the way their fans were talking before the game, all the things we had heard pregame, not from the Lions themselves, but just like the media atmosphere was overconfidence. I could feel it. And I'm sitting there going, you guys are giving up so many points. You clearly have not watched our team play very much. And we can play in a track meet with you, and we don't turn the ball over. If you do, you're in trouble. And so I'm honestly not that surprised. I walked in going, we're going to score 30. Is it going to be enough? Are we going to lose 35-34, or are we going to win 37-34? What I didn't envision was kind of running away, and with 8 minutes to go, like, going through stats and historical facts because we knew the game was in hand. That's the part I was surprised by.
It's incredible what they've been doing. And you can watch Jaden on tape, but until you're experiencing, you don't realize how special that show is. Bram Weinstein is the voice of the Washington Commanders. I agree with Bram. I do feel a little bad for the Detroit fans. Let's talk about a fan base we won't feel even a little tiny bit bad for. Going back to Philly, Thursday night earlier this year, they hung with them. That was in the middle of the Jaden Daniels, I'm not hurt, but clearly he was limited injury. Yeah. I think it's fair to say they've certainly got a path to victory here.
Oh, no doubt. I think there's a couple things here. One, you're right. Like, that's when Jaden was hurt. I remember before the rematch, and I was on the pregame show up in Philadelphia, and I told them, I said, I don't think you saw the real Jaden Daniels the first time. Like he was still injured from his rib injury, and this team was played on a Thursday night. They had just lost to Pittsburgh. They were in dire need of a bye at that point. They were just beat up, kind of out of gas. And I wasn't surprised they lost that night for all of those reasons. They're playing a really great team on their field, night game, short turnaround, just a bad setup, just completely bad setup. And the second go around, I think you saw what the real, they saw it live in person, the ability that he has. The 4th-and-11 play that he made in the second game is up there with maybe the best plays he's made all season, and he's had a million of them, but kept that team alive. That was the first time he really put on the cape for them kind of down the stretch. And when they didn't have a run game, they were able to kind of lean on him. And the other thing that I think is a really, really, really big deal, and I already hear the excuses coming from Philadelphia because they had all these excuses the first time when Jalen Hurts got hurt. But I don't think we're going to know this until the end of the week or really until Sunday, how hurt Jalen Hurts really is. And yep. It's his knee, you know, this time. If he doesn't have a lot of lateral movement, or he can't run his own read, or they're not going to do the tush push because they don't feel like he could hold up doing something like that, that changes the dynamic of this game immediately. This screams, I was saying this on my show today, the Commander's message has been anybody, anywhere, anytime. I would add one more to it. It's any type of game, because last week they got into a track meet. That is not this. Like, this one screams, who gets to 21st wins. Like, this is going to be tough, knockdown, drag out. If Hurts is beat up, can't run, and then is limited, and Washington can load up the box to try to limit Barkley, I have a hard time seeing Philadelphia score a lot. And with the Sam Cosmi injury and the lack of a run game and how their defensive line has really dominated the two performances earlier this year, I got a hard time seeing Washington score a lot of points. This is going to be about mistakes. Like, this feels like 17-14, 20-17, something like that.
It's going to be a grinder in the cold, different style of game entirely. And I know you've said it, and it's so true. It's not who you play. It's when you play them. And Jalen Hurts will obviously be a big storyline this week coming in, his health or not. Bram, you've got the call this weekend. The time is now, 3 o'clock Sunday, 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. It feels like the booth turned it up even another notch on Saturday. We were playing the clips of you and London, and obviously an exciting time in the booth, and of course Logan as well. What's this magic carpet ride been like?
It's been amazing. I think mainly because it's so unexpected. You know, I'm optimistic by nature, so I always kind of think they're going to be better than, you know, people say they're going to be. And I really like Dan Quinn, and I love seeing what I saw from Jaden in the summer, but he's a rookie, and he's a rookie on a team with 30 new players, and everything's kind of new. And I think, like, that's part of this too. I think everyone keeps dismissing them outside of it, is that it just doesn't make any sense. It'd be unprecedented, and frankly, it's the greatest turnaround in NFL history if they pull this off. I mean, Jaden Daniels starting in the Super Bowl, he'd be the first rookie quarterback ever to do that. So this is extremely unusual. They're rewriting the history books. But we've been along for the ride, and it was in the middle of it that it started to become evident, like, not only is Jaden so ahead of the curve, and he's just, he might be a top five quarterback right now, and that's surprising that it happened. And all these veterans that everyone said, oh, what do they have left in them? They got enough for this year, for sure. They're bought in. I've never seen chemistry with a team wearing this uniform ever, you know, not in my adult lifetime, for sure. And then The other part that I think is extremely underrated and isn't getting enough credit, because Jaden's doing so many incredible things, is the whole operation is so buttoned up, so thorough. They're prepared. They make very, very few mistakes with time management. They handle these games really well. People get fired for misutilizing timeouts, things like that. This team doesn't do that. And it just became clear that across the board, while they might not have the most talented team, they have a group that has bought in. They execute really well. They're extremely poised. They're incredible at game management. They're thorough. They're prepared. They communicate well. And the biggest thing of all of it, which we have not seen here in a generation, they got everybody in the building pulling the rope the same way for the first time since I can remember. This is really powerful. It feels like a revival. It feels like a movement. And I got to be honest, like, I will be surprised if they don't win Sunday. Like, I honestly would be surprised if they don't win.
It's refreshing, and it's an easy team to root for, and what a great time and a great moment to be a Commanders fan and to be in this region enjoying the excitement. I know Bram will on Sunday, 3 o'clock, he's got the call on the Commanders Radio Network. I am quite enjoying our little Tuesday tradition here. I say let's do it again next week.
All right, I'm going to tell you, I hate saying this, but someone's just going to have to put on the stream then. I'd love to just hear it on your airwaves, but we're going to go full pirate radio now, Michael.
Pirate radio, man. It's so fun, and it's way more fun than the national crew. I've enjoyed. I'll be in the stadium. I'll put on my headphones and enjoy as well. Look forward to seeing you in Philly. Thank you for making some time for us this morning.
Thanks. I'll see you there. And as you know, I'm superstitious, so after we beat the Eagles, we do need to talk at least one of the next 2 weeks leading into the Super Bowl.
It is booked. See you in New Orleans. Bram Weinstein, voice of the Commanders, on your home of the Commanders in Richmond. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Happy on the mic on NFC Championship Game Week right here on The Fan, Richmond's home for Washington Commanders talk. We will veer into VCU basketball in 11 minutes. Robbie Robinson is the voice of the Rams. Will join us before we crosstalk with AWOD to end the show. Before we dive into the regular programming, a very sad note passed along from our friend Charlie Slows, voice of the Nationals, who you hear here. Pete Medhurst, who is the voice of Navy Athletics, backup announcer on the Nats, and gave the updates on the Fan. You've heard his updates in during the Junkies and Grant and Danny over the years. Unfortunately, died last night after a battle with aggressive melanoma cancer. He had been ill for the last few weeks. I'll just say on behalf of all of us here, he's one of the nicest dudes I've ever met, 55 years old, just an incredibly sad day. So please keep Pete's family, his wife Brenda, in your thoughts and your prayers this week as they work through this. But certainly going to be a tough week for everybody at the Fan, because I can't think of anybody more universally loved than Pete Medhurst, and always loved when he was on the Nats call and hearing his updates. So some sad news from the Fan this morning, and our Richmond Fan family certainly sends their thoughts up to D.C. and to the Medhurst family at this time. We'll keep you updated as there's more information on that, and I'm sure there will be memorials and things of that nature. I know Grant and Daniel take that on during their show today, 3 to 6, as they knew him very well, and he did the updates there. In the midst of a very busy week at the Fan, as we get you ready for the NFC title game, which you'll hear right here Sunday at 3 o'clock. Eagles and the Commanders wrapped up the college football season last night. It seems we cannot get a good college football playoff game. They're harder and harder to come by. A lot of duds this year, but in the end, the funniest outcome prevailed. The fan base that hates its coach won the national title. That was Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Congrats to Travion Henderson, pride of Hopewell, coming away a national champ after that game. Full dominance, certainly the moment of the game that will be dissected. Notre Dame's down 16 in the fourth quarter. It's not a good spot to be in. You'd rather not be down 16 in the fourth quarter. That is technically a two-score game. Now, I am tired of litigating going for two with y'all. So let's all find common ground for a minute. You're down 16. You're in the red zone. It's fourth down. You're in the fourth quarter. You got to go for it. Everybody understands that. They kicked the field goal. Karma demanded that they miss the field goal, so of course they did. Here is Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame coach, on that decision.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a two-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it, but I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it, and we didn't make it.
I appreciate them keeping it a game for as long as they did. I scored that first touchdown on the long drive. Kept me watching longer than I would have otherwise. And then Ohio State wraps it up with the long touchdown pass late. Deserving champs. It's weird to get used to this format where the two teams playing for the Natty both had super embarrassing losses during the regular season. That's the new normal. You can lose and make the playoffs now. That's arguably way more fair. One loss doesn't define the season. One bad game early in the season against Northern Illinois, Notre Dame wouldn't have been invited to be a part of this in the old system. So it's arguably more fair. You can have a bad day, still be in it. It's a little weird because the college football champion for a long time was kind of the one pure one that the team was either undefeated or had just lost once in a big game. We're going to have some 2 and 3 loss college football champions in the coming years. Not sure I'm totally ready for that, but it's coming. So, as I say, more football is better than less football. Gave us more football. There's some tweaks that need to be made. I have no confidence they'll get made. I have no confidence in the NCAA as a whole. But if they do, it's a good initial try. Good early product and something to build on. Commanders news this morning. Not going to be a ton of Commanders news today. They don't hit the practice field again until tomorrow in D.C. It'll be a ton of interviews then. We'll pass those on to you, of course, during this program and, of course, during AWOD Radio. The big news this morning, Lance Newmark. It's okay if that name doesn't ring a bell. He is the assistant general manager of the Washington Commanders. He is, according to Josina Anderson, going to leave to become the new general manager of the New York Jets. Timing is everything. Last year, this team picked the perfect time to bottom out. Adam Peters was available. I think the world of Adam Peters. Jaden Daniels was available. This is a bad quarterback class and kind of a bad coaching crop. I had thought Newmark was going to leave to go with his guy, Ben Johnson. They know each other. But Chicago only fired the coach, not Ryan Poles, the general manager. So that's a bad situation from the get-go there in Chicago. New coach, not paired with a new general manager. I think Newmark has the juice to hold out for a job where he gets to call the shots. Instead, ends up with the Jets, where you definitely don't. The Johnson family's very hands-on there. I don't love this move for him as a guy who wishes him success. I'm going to feel that way about Cliff Kingsbury, too. I'll be okay when he leaves. I understand why he's going to leave. But don't just leave for the first girl that calls and asks you out. You gotta be choosy here because you can get a good job out of this. I don't know that Lance Newmark did. And it's okay to want to be a general manager. Nobody grows up wanting to be an assistant general manager. I'm unaware of that Halloween costume at Spirit Halloween. But at the same time, there's enough juice here. I think it's going to last another year. I think he could have held out for more. Wish him the best. If he can turn around the Jets, build a friggin' statue. Nobody else has been able to do it. He'll take the lessons he's learned. In Adam Peters, we trust. I trust Adam Peters to do the right thing. I hope we pick 32nd in the draft. I think that would be a ton of fun. Get a late draft pick, because you're rolling right now. It's going to be one of the last four picks. That's all right. This is a team that certainly is for the here and now. When you're 60 minutes from the Super Bowl, you're not thinking about the future. And it is refreshing to spend January not thinking about the future, but thinking about this matchup. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Should be incredible. I'll be up in Philly. We'll do the Monday show. Go inside the locker room, as always. Chiefs-Bills after that should be fantastic as well. Looking forward to another round of Allen Mahomes. You would argue this is last year was Lamar's best chance ever to slay the dragon, beat the Chiefs. They should have won in that second half. They didn't. This is Josh Allen's arguably best chance ever. He's got that team rolling. Chiefs have flaws. It's going to be an exciting football game as well. I think we're in for a really good day of football, and I agree with what Bram said. I think this is going to be a nail-biter in Philly. I think it's coming down to the last second. I know a guy who I like having the ball in his hands at the last second. Speaking of teams that are winning games, VCU on a bit of a tear. Let's not overlook amid all the excitement. Tonight is a game night. VCU at Rhode Island, 7 o'clock tonight. AWOD's got your pregame and halftime. We will chat with the voice of the Rams, Robbie Robinson. Get you ready for tip on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1. It's
setting records today on the show. I believe this is the first time we've had Robbie on back-to-back programs because we took yesterday off for the holiday.
He's on Friday before a big win up in Philly. Continues his road swing tonight. You'll hear VCU at Rhode Island, 7 o'clock, right here on your home of the Rams in Richmond, 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. He's the voice of the Rams, Robbie Robinson. What's up,
Michael? It's good to hear your voice. Yeah, I'm like your own little Marv Albert here with Johnny Carson. Just break the glass and put me on. I'm good to go.
We'll do the bit with the envelope. We put the three things in the envelope. Yeah. You can open it up. Karnak. We'll do the Karnak.
The great Karnak. Yeah, that is a 50-year-old reference right there that probably not many people are getting. That's okay.
I pride myself on keeping this show fresh and culturally relevant.
you're doing a bang-up job.
It's the bee's knees, radio programming. It's Robbie Robinson. VCU's at Rhode Island. We talked about this at the start of the stretch. St. Louis, St. Joe's, Rhode Island, the Bonnies, St. Louis again. Very tough stretch. They have risen to the challenge so far.
So far, so good, right? I think if you're looking at it, we are right there. And, you know, it's an interesting start to the season because you have St. Bonaventure that's good, and then you have two road games, two home games, and then two more road games. So this is the back end of that. So we'll be, six games clear of the season and only play two home games, which is good news, as good as the Rams are in the Siegel Center.
Yeah, the way they've hit shots, at home, but on the road as well. This is, I feel like I'm stumbling around here. I'll get straight to the point. I'll let you react to it. I was trying to phrase it as a question, but I thought, no, Robbie's a radio professional. I'm just going to make my point. Let him react to it. It feels like
make the statement and let me go. That's no problem.
Exactly. It feels like they're not necessarily that they've been better at shooting threes. They've been better at selecting which threes to shoot.
We're not forcing them, and we weren't forcing a ton in the first 12 to 15 games of the season. But, you know, if you force a three and you miss, that's a turnover, Michael. And so it's as egregious as that. And we're not doing that as much as I think we were earlier in the year by a fractional margin. But I think that fractional margin's important. Like, I think that fractional margin's making a difference in what we're doing. So we are making a little bit more. Like, our three-point percentage shooting is creeping up. We were around 30% for the majority of the non-conference. And we're at 32% now. And it takes a lot to, bump up a percent or two. So we're definitely doing that. I think, guys like Jack Clark are being more selective. So instead of 2 of 8, now he's – or 0 of 5, now he's 2 of 5. And Phil Russell's the same way. I think Shulga is done the same thing all year long, and I think we like what he's doing. And, Joe Bannistel's been shooting the ball better. So, yes, we are more effective. Like, we're one of the – we make more points – from behind the three-point line than almost anybody else in the country. That is our bread and butter, which isn't surprising considering how deep we are in the backcourt. Like, that's our strength, is the backcourt and shooting threes. So if we're not making threes, it's going to be tough sledding no matter when we're out there. But lately, at least since that Loyola game, we've been hitting them.
Yeah, that's why we have Robbie on. That's the insight we're looking for right there. And both picking them
and then shooting them and hitting them, and the percentage goes up, and that means good things for the Rams fans. Luke Bamboy got the start there against St. Joe's. I think it's a nice acknowledgement. He's been, you know, he's a role player, obviously, and when we see that, but he's been a really productive role player.
He has been, and I think defensively he is a difference maker in terms of block shots. And in fact, you know, the Rams are like top 10 in the country in blocks per game. They're like the top 15 at the least. They're one of the best shot blocking teams in the country, and that, which is surprising because our bigs don't get a ton of attention. In fact, they're a little maligned, right? They're a little bit like, you know, our bigs, I don't know how good they are. Well, they're really good at rim protecting, and that is allowing our guys to be more aggressive on the outer parts, which gives us more steals. Jaquan Lewis used to say it all the time. He's like, I could go after steals because I knew I had Mo Alie-Cox back there that would swat anything that got by me. So our guys are a little bit more daring defensively, which I think leads to more steals, leads to more turnovers on the other side, and leads to more easy buckets in transition. Bamboye has taken over, I think, that starting role. I'd be surprised if they go back to Christian Furman. I think they like having Furman off the bench. I think they like having Bamboye early on getting a couple block shots to kind of set the standard for what we're going to do defensively. But he's been, while offensively he's still coming along, they're still trying to figure things out, they're still trying to get connected on lobs, which he has the ability to go get and dunk. Defensively, he's a difference maker, and I think that's been a large part of this four-game streak that we're on.
No, no question. The blocks are momentum-changing plays as well, and nobody's doing it better than he is. Zach Joachim hit me with some stat, like he's leading the country in blocks per shot attempts faced. He's slicing up the numbers. He's making it look good, but no doubt that he's making an impact in limited minutes. Rhode Island tonight, you'll hear it, of course, right here on The Fan. Robbie Robinson has the call from Rhode Island. 3-3 in conference play, because everybody's 3-3 in conference play right now, it seems. This is a pretty good basketball team. What are you watching for tonight?
They got a guy, Sebastian Thomas, who's really good. And he's averaging 19 points per game. And not only that, he's got this uncanny ability, Michael, to hit game-winning shots. He's hit like 5 game winners this season for them, and he's tough, and like when he's second in the league in scoring, and he doesn't hit a lot of threes. He's only hit like 27 threes on the season, but Michael, he gets to the rim, and he is a scorer. So from that standpoint, they've got to keep an eye on him. They're big. I think, you know, Rhode Island's still trying to figure out how good they are. They haven't really played a whole lot of teams this year. Their 14-4 record is obviously spectacular, but their best win is against the Providence team. And I think the Big East will tell you that they're trying to figure out how good Providence is. But they beat Providence one night, and then they lost to Brown the next night, which is a little bit of an eye roll. And as you said, they're 3-3 in the league. They got an overtime win against Richmond. I think they beat Duquesne. But this is a real litmus test for how good Rhode Island is. And we don't normally play well here. We had lost like 5 in a row before Zeb Jackson 2 years ago hit a 15-foot jumper to beat them like 55-53. That was the last time we came here. We didn't get in the 60s, and nor did they. And so it's not been a real welcoming place for VCU basketball over the years. So you've got that to deal with. They're always got a good crowd. It's the state school. You know, it's like the state flagship school, Rhode Island. So they get a good crowd. They're fired up. Their students will come out. And we usually get teams' best shots anyway because of who we are.
We're in the bullseye right now, top the A-10, which we love to see. And KenPom, I think, called VCU one of the unluckiest teams, just in terms of not being able to convert those opportunities in Charleston early on. And that kind of rings true. We're watching this team play. I think you and I both see this is a tournament-caliber basketball team. But unfortunately, the margin for error is really slim right now.
Well, we didn't get the opportunities, and when we had the opportunities, we didn't take advantage of them. Whether KenPom calls us unlucky or not, I mean, I was sitting there courtside. Yeah, I mean, Nevada hit a couple of shots that were down the stretch. I don't know how KenPom rates that or notices that, but yes, they did. That you wish they had back. You wish Miami were better, right? Like yeah. Miami is having a horrific year, and that win doesn't mean squadouche. Colorado State's playing better, so that's nice. And the best team in the Mountain West is doggone New Mexico, and you know we didn't play great there, but it was uncomfortable for them for a little bit. So whether we're unlucky or not, it doesn't matter. We've just got to take it, and I think this is going to sound like a coach, but I think it's true. We just have to stack wins, Mike. We just have to, you know, and if you turn around and all of a sudden we're 13-2 in the league after 15 games,
we're going to be mentioned for an at-large, like we are, because in that case, we'd be like 24-5. And so if you're hovering around that kind of record, I think you're going to be in the mix conversation-wise at the very least. So, but you can't get there unless you stack wins. You can't come to Rhode Island and blow out a tire, right? You can't leak oil throughout the season. And we still have a gauntlet that's coming up, because after this, we got St. Bonaventure, which is truly our nemesis, on Friday night. Then we have to go to St. Louis, which is hard to play, especially as good as they are, on Tuesday. And then you got the Spiders a week from Saturday. And so the A-10, while it doesn't have these unbelievable five-bid league teams this year, we've got some really solid teams that are all dangerous anytime you play them. There's not a whole lot of let-up at all. I mean, St. Bonaventure got blown out by LaSalle a couple of games ago, and that's the LaSalle's on the horizon for us, too. So you can't play poorly and win in this league. You've never been able to, and you can't do it this year.
Even some of these weaker conference teams, like, say, Dayton, will be able to give you a test on a given night, it turns out.
right. Those bottom-of-the-barrel teams like the Flyers. I can't get it win.
We will remind folks, get your tickets. A few seats still available for Friday night at the Stew. 9 o'clock. We're staying up late. We're drinking coffee. We're cheering on the Rams at the Siegel Center Friday night against the Bonnies. Of course, tonight, nice and early 7 o'clock tip with Robbie on Rams Radio. You'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan. Robbie, enjoy Rhode Island. Look forward to seeing you for a big one Friday.
Michael, I appreciate you having me on, man. Have a good rest of your day.
All right, off he goes. And we got one more segment before we send you off to AWOD Radio. We'll knock that out on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the Free Odyssey app. Look, I didn't think today was going to get better. The Commanders are in the NFC title game. We're fired up. You'll hear the game Sunday right here on 910 The Fan, trying to get to the Super Bowl. They're 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. And it's a VCU game night, and we had Robbie on, we had Bram on, so I didn't think I was going to get any happier. AWOD Radio joins us now for Crosstalk. That's not what's making me happier, but I love having you here. Welcome aboard.
It sounded like I was getting
I know. I didn't realize I needed to throw the cold water on that right away. Here's what's making me happy right now. The Dallas Cowboys are interviewing somebody for their head coaching position today.
Is it Anthony Lynn?
Brian Schottenheimer.
Oh, God.
Please, 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 please. Jerry. Please do it.
What is he doing?
Do it, Jerry.
What happened to the Deion talk? It last week it felt like it was developing to the point where he was going to be hired.
Deion was he was playing footsie. Deion was like, if offered, I would take it. Like,
yeah. And Jerry was like, I'm interested.
I like Deion. Yeah, Deion's a Cowboys legend.
Yeah.
That's quieted.
I think Troy Aikman might have something to do with that, right? I mean, Troy's comments went really viral.
It's an interesting thing. We've lived this where, I guess Riggo's probably the most prominent guy. For about 10 years, Riggo was really hard on Dan Snyder and the organization, and he stopped getting invited to things. Joe Theismann towed the party line. You kept hearing him on the... Riggo was a no-go.
Yeah.
We didn't have Riggo at things. Troy's getting there. Troy is becoming the face of the resistance in Dallas. I think it's a good look for him. I think it's a good career move for him.
I have always been a fan of Troy Aikman calling games that aren't featuring the Dallas Cowboys. Can't have him calling games that feature the Cowboys. It's obvious that he's biased and he likes rooting for them. But when Troy Aikman's on the call for, like, Redskins Eagles, I think he's great.
I think he's very good, too. That's a great team. Did you have Tom Brady thoughts on Sunday?
I didn't mind it.
Here's where I'm at. I think he has progressed this season from being a below average color guy to a league average color guy. If his name wasn't Tom Brady, I think we would say like, yeah, that guy, he can call games. But he's getting the number one game every week.
Yep.
And he's got the $100 million TV deal, and he's also interviewing guys for the Raiders. Troy Aikman spends 60 hours a week getting ready for these games. Is Tom Brady doing that?
Well, I think he's spending a lot of time because I do think he really cares about it, but it's not like he grew up wanting to do this job.
Yeah.
It's not like he's thought about it his entire life, right? He wanted to be a Super Bowl champion quarterback, and he did that. And now this is part two of his career. Here's what I will say, though. I didn't think he was great on the call, and that's because I think he's nervous and he doesn't have good radio or TV instincts. For example, he saw things that other people didn't see, and he was quiet. Right? It was 4th-and-2 with the game on the line, and the Lions had 12 guys on the field, and he says, oh, no. Tom, you've been in that situation. He should have screamed. Why aren't they calling timeout? There's obviously 12 guys on the field. I see that. Why don't you see that, Dan Campbell? Right? Like, he saw things. There were several times during this game where he said either, oh, no, or I don't like this. Explain why you don't like that. Go all in. It's like he didn't have the instincts. He was a little shy in that moment.
He had two great moments during the game. That was one of them where he immediately identified 12 on the field, which is not easy
to
do.
But all he said was, oh, no.
Yeah,
right? He could have gone into
further.
On.
The second was on the early interception where he correctly identifies, hey, Jared Goff feels like he needs 20 yards right now because they're behind, and he could have settled for 4 yards
right
on the check down. Great analysis. Popped in with it right on the first replay.
Give me more.
Got
of,
it done.
Hey, I'm Tom freaking Brady. Here's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Right? And instead, it's almost like he's kind of tiptoeing around it, right?
I watch Greg Olsen. I watch Troy Aikman. I watch Chris Collinsworth. I get smarter because I listen to them. Tom hasn't taught me anything. I've never, like, I got to put that in my back pocket and use it on the radio show when I want to sound smart.
No, it was simple things. Like, you're right. Like, hey, he could have taken the check down here. But we all saw that.
This is a big moment in the game. Yeah. I've always said in a big moment, you want your best players to get the ball.
Right.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd throw it to Terry, too. You know, I need something. Elevate it.
Yeah, I think it could get there if he has the passion for it and he keeps getting. This is his rookie year. And on that call on Saturday, he looked like the rookie, not Jaden Daniels.
He's going to do the Super Bowl, and that's a mistake. And that's Fox's mistake, too. And they're going to, you know, he's going to have to really work hard to advance in the next few
years.
Yeah,
the Tom Brady interview with Jaden Daniels was awful in my mind.
It was.
It was not good.
And Jaden is tough to pry anything out of to begin with, and Tom's just
not. But they're doing inside jokes about what does LFG stand for?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, didn't land for me at all.
Tom should have just ran with that and says, Jaden, it stands for let's freaking go, or drop the F-bomb because you can afford it. You know, like, what was he doing there?
I'll pay the fine. Yeah. We're good. I want to briefly, because I haven't talked about anything else other than the Commanders except for our VCU segment. Lamar Jackson. How do we reevaluate Lamar Jackson in light of another playoff game where, dang, if he wasn't really good and they didn't win?
I think Baltimore has an issue, and they believe that their tight ends are better than they are.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews is average. He's not Travis Kelce.
No.
He's not Rob Gronkowski. If they had one of those two, they would have won Super Bowls by now. How many times are we going to do this bit with the Ravens where it's like, it's Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews? They're not even Dallas Goedert level. They're not even Zach Ertz level. And so I don't think this conversation would be about Lamar at all. It's how has the GM not put Lamar in a better position? They don't have good enough weapons around him. And Derrick Henry's not the answer.
Ooh.
All right? Because the problem is that they're too similar. They both can run the football. Why didn't they go out to get him a number one wide receiver? A legit number one wide receiver. A legit number one tight end. What are they waiting for? Brock Bowers wouldn't have led them to the Super Bowl this year? He absolutely would have. Right? They have to actually go for it.
I'm prepared to take Derrick Henry in a situation where he's available.
But you see what I'm saying?
Like, I see what you're saying.
Derrick
sure.
Henry was on the team, was not on the team last year. They got to the exact same spot.
Yeah.
Actually, they got farther last year. They got farther.
They should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They could have won in the second half of that Chiefs game. That's what scares me for the Bills, because I think the Bills are a better team right now than the Chiefs. It's an invisible wall that everybody runs into and hits and falls down. You just can't beat the Chiefs right now. It's a thing. It's in people's heads.
Yeah, you get into your head, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I think is the issue for the Bills this weekend is late in that third quarter, if they're trailing, are they going to start getting nervous and stop taking the check down and force the issue downfield, right? Because you can say all you want about Washington and how great they were, and I agree with you, but Detroit got nervous. That's why Washington won.
It's a good-looking hat you're wearing, by the way.
Hell
got rocking the Commanders
hat. Hell yeah!
Rocking the Commanders hat. 3 hours A-Wad Radio, live and local. What you got cooking?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot to get to on the show today. We'll have Rick Snyder, columnist for 106.7 The Fan, covering the Commanders. Lane Casadante. It's a VCU game day. And more of my thoughts on this magical run for Washington.
It's a magic carpet ride. I'm enjoying every second of it. Let's do some more great radio this week.
Hell
let me
yeah.
Say. All right. A-Wad Radio up next. You are listening to Richmond's home of the Washington Commanders. They're 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl, folks. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.